beautiful Thursday. We have Mr. Matthew Edwards, the star of Denver, here with us as well. Hello, Mr. Matt.
Hey, I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm wonderful, my friend. It's just it's a lovely day in the neighborhood.
Yeah, well, guess what?
I'm
sorry.
It's what?
No, I was just saying, just talking about the bipolar things here, 70 to 75 degrees here for the next couple of days, and it's actually going to snow on Saturday.
Oh, my God. All right, well, I'll be there on the 30th, so.
I'm just going to miss you, too.
And I need to make sure to invite everybody that's on the call to that event as well. It's in the Denver area, so I'll remember to do that at the end and explain what we're doing. All right, we've got some great stuff here today. Looks like first up we have the wonderful Miss Jackie, and she's trying to figure out those darn balloons. I'll tell you, it's kind of like Matt, like you said. Is that from the flower shop, those balloons, or is that picking them up at Disney on Main Street? Those balloons are always tricky, you know.
Exactly.
Hey, Jackie.
Hello there, Joe. How are you today?
You know, if I were doing any better, it'd have to shoot me. Or as Dave Ramsey said, he says, better than I deserve.
There you go. Well, that's
there
good.
You go. All right, so Matt, you want to whip that over to me and let's go kind of go through this with Jackie again? And I didn't mean that like again. Let's just go through it with Jackie, because we've got a lot of, everybody's going to run into balloons out there.
All right.
And unfortunately, so Jackie, that's almost all I'm running into.
So I'm assuming these were all probably originated prior to January 10, 2014, these ones you're looking at?
Well, the one that I sent you is definitely that. It was originated in 2013.
Gotcha. And just for those that are on the call, I know we have some new people today. And just a balloon is just simply an alternative financing technique, which is primarily used in seller financing. If your bank loans from regular commercial banks, from the GSEs like Fannie, Freddie, and HUD, government-sponsored entities, they do not do any type of loans, any type of balloon on a residential loan at all. And what that does, we could amortize the loan as if we're paying it over 30 years, but what happens, and the payment would be calculated on a 30-year payback, but if it has a 5-year balloon, that just simply means that the borrower has to go out and refinance the loan to pay off the lender in 5 years. So that just gives the seller finance guy the opportunity to finance it long term, and then the borrowers have to go out within a specified or specific period, anywhere from 3 to 5 years, or what balloons are put into loans. And it just gives the seller finance guy the opportunity to get his money without having to wait for 30 years. So I will tell you that if you're looking at commercial loans all have balloons in them. And understand that a commercial loan is a loan that it's an investor loan. So if you take out a loan from Bank of America or Wells Fargo or any of those lenders on a commercial piece of property, they will normally amortize those from 20 to 30 years, but they will put a 3 to 5 year balloon in there, meaning you have to go back in and refinance that loan or pay it off within 3 to 5 years. So Jackie, let's talk about this particular property. What is the property worth?
$145,000.
Okay. And what did it sell for?
$139,000.
Okay. And Jackie, what I think, since you're having all these, I think I need to send you this spreadsheet that I'm using. Maybe a little easier for you to calculate the balloons.
That would be great.
Okay, so principal amount, what was the loan amount?
124.
Okay, 124. And the interest rate?
4.25. Horrible what? Interest rate.
Good deal. That's great for the borrower.
Yep.
All right. What is the term? I'm in the full term. Was it a 360-month AM?
No, it was 300.
A 300-month AM. Okay. So let's do that. What's the monthly payment?
67176.
Okay. And
76. 76.
I'm just liking it a little bit. Gotcha.
There you go.
Okay. 67176. Boy, I'll tell you, Jackie, Eddie has been on a roll the last couple of 3 days on the webinars, hasn't he?
Well, to be honest, I've had some personal issues here, and I haven't been able to listen to them yet, but they're on my schedule, but I couldn't miss you.
Oh, my God, he has been on a roll, baby, I'll tell you. So
well,
how many,
I couldn't miss you today, though. I couldn't
right.
miss you.
How many payments have you made, Jackie?
29,
okay. And when does this balloon?
In 72 months.
In 72 months. So it had 72, 82, 92... So it was a 100-month balloon. Is that what they did? So it's
No. The balloon balloons in 72 months, and the months to the balloon is 43.
So they've paid 43 payments?
No, they paid 29.
And how many more payments are there? 43 until it balloons?
Yes.
43. Okay, so what is the current unpaid balance?
116,909.58.
Okay, and 58. Okay, 116,909.58. And what is the balloon amount?
104,962.95.
Okay, 104,962.95. So let me explain to the guys here just real quick, Jackie, while we've got them here, what this is. So the house sold for $145,000 30 months ago, basically. It sold for $139,000. It's currently worth $145,000. The borrower put $15,000 down on it, and the principal financed was $124,000. 4.25%. This payment right here, the 671.79, is based on the borrower paying this back in 300 months. But what they actually did was they put a balloon in there. So what that means is that the borrower has to pay this off in 43 months to the lender, to the person that financed this. So it was a 72, it was amortized for 300 months, but in 6 years, 72 months, 29 and 43, the borrower has to pay it off. So this is the current balance, and in 43 months, this will be the amount the borrower will have to pay off. Okay, so Jackie, what is the likelihood, or do you even know, if you've gotten into this far enough, what is the likelihood of the borrowers being able to refinance this in 43 months?
Okay, this is the borrower. I'm buying this from the heir to the man who owned the property. It was a vacation home for him in the mountains. He sold it to an attorney to use as a rental, vacation rental. The attorney has paid supposedly. I'm still bringing in the payment history. But it's supposedly paid beautifully. So I would say it's 50-50 whether he'll end up paying it off. It depends on what success he's had in the vacation rental business. But this is a tenant occupied property.
Okay, so But and here's the thing, Jackie, and I know he's an attorney, and it's kind of hard to sue an attorney, but you know he is required by the security agreement. You know he is required to pay this off in to refinance it and pay you off in 43 months.
I understand, so,
and you know that.
I understand, and okay. I have no fear of taking him to court if I have to.
Gotcha. So now let's just, for a little learning exercise for everybody else that's on the phone. So if Jackie would have said, Joe, there is about a 5% chance that this individual that owns this property is going to be able to refinance this in 43 months. There's just no way they're going to, and I just don't see it happening. So at that point, we wouldn't even price it as if it had the balloon in it. We would just remove the balloon. We would amortize it over the 307. It would be 271 remaining payments. So we would price it as if the balloon wasn't there. And then typically, especially if this was created, you know, after January 10th, 2014, when Dodd-Frank took into effect, we would be almost required to refinance or to go ahead and modify this for this borrower and pay it and just take the balloon out. And now,
whoa, say, explain that, please. Go ahead and elaborate on that.
It's my feeling, Jackie, and again, as Eddie would say, I'm not an attorney and don't play one on TV, but if I knew these folks, if I knew that they didn't have a very good chance of being able to pay this off, I would quote it as if the balloon didn't exist.
Okay.
Okay? So I would say there's no way. Now, what I wouldn't do, even by doing that, I wouldn't modify it right now. I would wait until that 43 months rolled around. Well, I wouldn't wait till 43 months. About 6 months prior to this, you know, balloon coming due, so in about 37 months, I would contact the borrowers and say, okay, your loan is set to balloon in 6 months, so I'm going to go ahead and let you know that you need to start looking for a lender to refinance this loan for you because you are required per the agreement to pay this off. And you would then push them to go out and refinance this loan. Now, at the end of the day, when it rolled around, and if they have made... And they would need to prove this to you if they have made every effort to be able to refinance this and they could not do it, there's a couple of things you could do. Number one, you could go ahead and, well, you could take it back if they just couldn't do it. I mean, you legally can do that. Number two, you would give them either a six-month or a one-year extension to get it done. Or number three, you would go ahead and modify it. If it were originated prior to, you know, January of 2014, I would keep that balloon. I would push them to do that. I may extend it 6 months and then extend it 6 months again. But I would keep the pressure on them to get this done because they signed that documentation. Now, if it were made after January of 2014, you know, we could run into that whole deal where, well, you put a note in there, and I balloon in there, and I there's no way I could have ever taken it out or refinanced it. So that would be, you know, that would be on a case by case basis. But
okay, can I interject
pricing,
something,
Jackie? Understand the pricing is going to be a whole heck of a lot different if you quote that to where it's paying off in 43 months. Following?
Exactly. And I have it was actually signed by an LLC. It was not signed personally. It was, so it's to an investor. This is a note.
I would push him to perform then. Okay, so if we look at this and we go, okay, there's only 43 payments left. So we could say, okay, and we're going to quote this at much higher than a – what do you say, Jackie? You want about a 14% return?
Well, that would be nice. What I've negotiated is a 12.65 return.
Okay, so let's just do 12.65. Okay, so, Jackie, we could – what this is saying – hold on. What this is saying is we're going to buy the 43 payments and none of the balloon. Okay, 43 payments and none of the balloon. And I don't know why that did that. I'm going to have to go back in and redo this, so bear with me for just a second.
This makes me feel better, Joe.
Okay, yeah. Oh, I have got so much crap opened up on here. There it is right there. So I'm going to go file, and I'm going to close it, and I'm going to open it back up simply because I screwed something up there, and I need to just redo this. So you're going to have to give me those numbers again.
Okay.
Okay, so let's do it real quick. So it was 145. You'll see how good my memory is here. 145. And 145, and it was 139.
Correct.
And 139. And it was 124.
Correct.
120, 124. Okay. And it was 4.25.
Correct.
4.5, and it was 29 and 43,
now,
right?
No, the term was 300.
Oh, that's right. That's right. You're right. 300. 300. 100. And it was 649 or something like that, or 679?
67176.
Okay. 671.76. And it was 29.
Payments made.
29 and 43.
Correct.
And what was the unpaid balance?
116-909-58.
58. So it's 116-99. Oh. Well, you know, Jackie. It's been a crazy week.
The principal up there is the balloon is
104.962.95. Okay, so let's go on back over here to the balloon.
Well, your principal up there is not 12,400. It's C5 is 124.
Yeah, 124.
Okay. I just didn't want it to mess it down.
We just want to make sure we got it right. Okay, so we're going to go with 43 payments, and we're going to go at 12.625. Is that what you said?
Yes.
625. Okay, so if we were to buy just the 43 payments, Jackie, and we want a 12.63% return, we would pay $23,138 for that. Is that what you got?
Yes.
Okay. Now, if we wanted to go in and buy the payments and all of the balloon, so I put in 100% of the balloon, so that means we're buying it all, that would be a pay price of $90,064. That's buying it all. Okay, we're buying the 43 payments and the balloon.
Okay, hold on just one second.
Okay.
All right. Okay.
So it's 90,064.08.
And that's what I got. That's what I quoted.
Okay, now if you wanted to buy half the balloon, so here's what I just did, guys. So what we would tell the note seller is say, okay, Mr. Note Seller, we're going to buy the 43 remaining payments, and we're going to buy 50% of the balloon, or we're going to buy half the balloon, $52,481. So what we're going to pay you for that is $56,901. So when the loan balloons, you're going to get $52,000 plus the $56,000 that I'm paying you. And then what Jackie would get, she would have gotten the 43 payments, plus she would get half the balloon as well. Does that make sense, Jackie?
Yes. I just, okay, and when you send me this spreadsheet, then I'm going to put these numbers in it and come back to your numbers.
Okay. Now, let's just do something real quick, Jackie, just to see how it would change. We remember what our numbers were. We remember that buying half of it, the pay price is 56. Well, that won't apply. So let's just, if we bought that and none of the balloon, let's just see what that would be. Okay, so that one's going to be $23,138.
That's what I get.
Okay, cool. So just to give everybody a taste of what it would be if the balloon wasn't there, then let's just go ahead and take out the balloon. Okay, take out the balloon. There's 29 payments been made. So 29 minus 300 is
271.
So 271 and 271. All right, so this is what it's going to look like based on that. So if we bought the 43 payments only, or a 43 payment partial, the pay price would still be the same.
Right.
Okay. But if we bought the full purchase on this, or the 271 remaining payments, look at the difference in the pay price. It was $90,064.08 versus $60,105.94.
Correct.
Big because you're difference, right?
You're receiving the money from the balloon 29.
Well, you're receiving it in 43 months, so it's not a long term out there, so the discount is very, very small. But let's say we quoted it. We were just kind of a new, you know, we didn't know any better. We said, oh, it's got a balloon in it, so yeah, we're going to quote it. So what if we paid those guys $90,000 for it? And it doesn't, the balloon doesn't take out, and we're not able to force them out of the house because it was, you know, it was originated after January 10th of 2014. Boy, that's a big difference. And the reason the difference is $30,000 is simply this. We were going to get paid in 43 months versus getting paid in 270 months.
Right.
And the interest rate is very low. It's 4.25 or whatever it was. So now we take it from being paid in 43 months to being paid in 271 months. So that's where you have to be careful when you're quoting something that has a balloon in it. You want to make sure that, and if I were very sure that balloon would not, you know, not be taken out, I would quote it without that balloon, Jackie.
Okay.
In this case, you're pretty. I mean, it's not a consumer loan, really. It's an attorney who is not living in it. So even if it was created after the whole, you know, January 2014, this wouldn't be a consumer loan anyway.
Right.
So he needs to, and he's an attorney. Now he may can find some nuance in the paperwork and kind of screw you around on it, but you're.
Well, it's the standard North Carolina promissory note. The only bad problem is he's the one who created it. I mean, he's, so it doesn't have a. I don't care so much about the prepayment penalty, but because it's so short, but he doesn't have the due on sale clause or anything like that. It's obvious that he made it to his benefit, but.
Well, you know the old accounting joke, right? The figures don't lie, just liars figure.
Okay. Well, I appreciate your help, and I would love to have that
spreadsheet. I'll send this to you when we get off. Yeah, I surely will.
I appreciate that.
Okay, and let's see. Let me see if any of these questions are relevant to this. Send. Okay, here's something from Stu, so you can answer that. This is not owner-occupied. Bob, you're correct. Dodd-Frank does not apply. Correct. Principal is 124. That's correct. You have a typo. Okay, yep. Thank you, guys. Okay, yeah, we've got it, so we're good. Thanks so much for, yeah, you guys are watching out for me, and that's a good thing. I certainly need it. So, guys, again, if you have any other questions on balloons, you can go ahead and type them in, but we're going to run on to the next to the next topic here. Matt, do you want to take that back from me, or do I need to transfer it back to you?
I'll go ahead and take it back if you give me just a second.
Okay. And folks, if you're dealing with anything that's not a consumer loan, meaning that the borrower is going to live in that house, I would, if you're creating a note, I would always put a balloon in the note. No doubt at all that I would always do that. So it's just the best way to do it, so that you can have a good chance of getting this done. All right. So is Mr. John on the phone?
I do not see him on the phone, so we can go ahead and go down to the next one.
Well, if you want to do this real quick, we can. If he's listening, we can knock it out pretty quick.
Okay.
Okay. So Bob had this on the, or John had this on the Monday call. After Eddie finished his explanation, I came up with one more question. He mentioned the 65% ITV rate for the example he gave. Is that a good number to use today, or just a rate that Eddie pulled from the air? If he pulled the ITV rate from air, what is a good ITV when I come across a situation like he described? Okay, guys, for all of you that were on the Monday night call, the question was that this came from was, what is the difference between a yield quote and an ITV quote? Okay, so a yield quote and an ITV quote. And in a nutshell, I'm not going to go back through it in detail as Eddie did, but let me just explain it real quick, because we've already done that one time this week, and it's on the Monday call. So if I have a house and I'm selling it, or we have a house that, a note on a house that we're looking at, the house sold for $110,000 with $10,000 down, okay? Yeah, let's do it a little different than that. Let's say we've got a $100,000 house, and it sold for $5,000 down. So we wouldn't even quote that wouldn't quote it as a yield, because we know that we would only want to be in that loan based on investment to value. So let's say, and Bob or John's question here, I don't know why I've got Bob on my mind there, Matt, but anyway, a good rate on a performing loan or a max investment to value on a performing loan that was, you know, created to Dodd-Frank standards, it's got a good borrower, we know what the credit is, or we know, whatever it is. Okay, let's just say that this has got a year seasoning on it. So if we were to look, and it was done at a 10% loan rate, okay, if we quoted it based on a yield, the discount wouldn't be that great, but we're going to quote it based on a maximum investment to value. So Matt, I don't think we need to do that and spend that much time on that, but just understand that at maximum investment to value, it's going to be somewhere between 60% and 80%. So if this, since this was a $100,000 loan with only 5% down, the owner was kind of iffy, or the borrower was kind of iffy, and let's say we would only want to be in this at a 70% ITV, or in this case a 65% ITV, as Eddie had used the other night, then we would only pay 65% or $65,000 for that loan based on an investment to value. And it really wouldn't be a yield quote, it would be an investment to value quote, because I can promise you that 65% of max of value is going to drive the yield way up, or the return way up. It may be 20, 21, 22%. Versus if that same $100,000 house sold for $100,000 with $20,000 down, we would simply look at the yield, and we want to make 12 or 13% on that, then the discount is not going to be as large, because the initial loan to value is 80% versus 95% if the borrower only put $5,000 down. And if that's confusing, I can go ahead and pull up the spreadsheet there and show you what that looks like. But I think it's pretty self-explanatory. Just understand that anytime we price a loan, we know that we're only going to be in it at a certain maximum ITV, somewhere between 60% and 80%. It would have to be a great loan for you to do an 80% investment to value on that particular loan. So Matt, let me see if we have any questions. Okay, nope, looks like we're okay. So let's move on and go from there.
And Joe,
so again, what's that?
No, sorry, I'll say it in a second. Go ahead. Okay. No, I was saying I thought you had some follow up to that. Sorry.
Nope, we're good.
Yeah, I was gonna say that ITV LTV conversation, we did cover it on Tuesday, but we did cover the entire. He ran the presentation. We are gonna cut that off.
Was it on Monday? I think it was on Monday, Matt, wasn't it?
Well, we talked about it first on Monday, and then actually did the presentation on Tuesday.
Gotcha.
And so, but we are going to cut that off into a mini webinar and put that out to everybody. But if you are on the non-performing side also, if you go to Tuesday's night call, you'll be able to actually see that presentation. It's at near the end of the call. So it's actually the last, we actually went over about 15 minutes because he did that presentation. So keep the chapter until the end. So.
Okay. Excellent. All right. Let's go to the next one.
All right. And Stu, I did see your email, and I just emailed you back. I need a little bit more follow-up on that before we can commit to that. So I'm going to go ahead and bring Linda.
Okay. Good afternoon, Linda. Or hello.
Hi.
Hi, Linda. How you doing? It's Joe.
Hi, Joe. Hi, Matt.
Hey, how are you?
Very good. Okay, so you've got a good question here, and this is something that comes up quite a bit. This loan, I haven't looked at it, but I think it was probably one of the loans that was you're buying from or would be buying from Colonial, and probably was originated by Stonecrest. And this terminology that they've got in here, it is completely standard for their. For their mods or when they create a land contract. So let me let you talk about it just a minute, and then and ask your questions, and then we'll kind of go through it, and we'll make sure you get it.
Okay. Well, I'm interested in purchasing this note that's actually in West Virginia. It's under subperforming on the Colonial list, and I've seen these land contracts before. Like you said, they seem to be pretty common from Stonecrest, and they have the language where it's like a probationary period for 24 months. At least in this one, it's 24 months, and then after that, it says that they would create a note and mortgage, and but the 24 months is almost up. It's up next month. But so I was trying to read through that language to see, like, what would I need to do if I buy this note? Am I going to have to do a bunch of work right away?
Right. Okay. Go ahead.
Yeah. Yep. And so I just wondered if you could just go through what's actually in this one. And I think, like you said, I think it's standard in others as well, so that I could understand if it's really pushed by the buyer and it'll stay a land contract unless they push it, or I actually have to initiate.
It's going to be the onus is on them. So this loan was originated March 20th of 2014. And Matt, if we'll scroll on down to where that language is in the land contract. Okay, so let's just kind of look at it here. Throughout the probationary period. So let me see here. Buyer agrees to pay seller such sums as seller may from time to time estimate will be required to pay at least. Anyway, it's moving around a lot. Anyway, the probationary period on this is 24 months from the time that it was originated. So here's what happens, Linda. The borrower, and let me just back up one more time here. So would a land contract or would a mortgage and note be a strong ownership position for the borrower.
A mortgage and note for the borrower.
Absolutely. So what Stonecrest, or what they do when they originate these and they put this probationary period in there, is it gives the borrowers have 24 months at their discretion, and they have to initiate it and they have to do it. If they've made those payments on time, they can then convert this from a land contract to a mortgage and note. Now, if they don't initiate that, and if they do not do it, then it goes away after 24 months, so it's going to remain as a land contract.
Can they initiate it any time after 24 months?
Nope, it's done. At the end of 24 months, it's done. So if you look at the language here, payable on the first day of the month, commencing on May 1st, 2014, but its origination date is really what we're looking at. So really, In actuality, the 24 months is over. It was over March 20th, and continuing the first day of each month thereafter for at least 24 months, and until the buyer has provided written proof to the seller that the delinquent assessments are paid in full. So there was some assessments on this, so it must be completely caught up. Payment of the probationary installments shall be delivered to the seller. Capital income growth, yada, yada, yada. Each monthly probationary period shall be delinquent if not received by the seller within 10 calendar days. So if it's due on the 1st, then it's it has to be made by the 10th. If not, then, of course, that's against the language in here. And probationary is delinquent. There should be added to the promissory installment due to a late equal fee of 10%, and so on. So... Mm-hmm. Really, what they've done here is typically it's going to be a little easier to foreclose or to take the property back based on this agreement continuing as a land contract versus it being a mortgage and note, where it would trigger the whole judicial process. So if during this probationary period they pay all of their payments on time, they're not late, all of the assessments, the taxes and insurance are all current and all paid, they have the option of converting this at their expense, I think is what most of them say, and I didn't read it all, but it's typically at their expense, then they can convert it over to a mortgage and note. But once that 24-month period is up, then it's not an issue. It's going to remain as a land contract.
Okay. And they're actually behind in payments right now, so they probably can't do it anyway.
they're already behind. So, no, there's no need to even worry about that. The time has expired. Okay. They're behind. How many months are they behind, Linda?
Just two. It could be potentially because of the transfer of servicing to Peak, which just happened at the beginning of the year, so they might not have caught it up. The second part of my question is, I'll tell you, I've had a heck of a time finding title companies willing to help me. I've called like three or four today. Most of them have no idea what I'm talking about in terms of buying a note and wanting to get a lender or owner's policy. But I talked to this one guy who said, you know, West Virginia is a non-judicial state.
Correct.
And when I mentioned that this was a land contract, he got all bent out of shape and said that's very difficult to deal with, and that adds a whole bunch of complexity to their work. And he said, and do you realize that if you're dealing with a land contract, if those people stop paying, you can't get your money back because you can't foreclose, is what he said.
Right.
And I said, well, I think it depends on the language in the land contract. I said, West Virginia is a non-judicial state anyway.
Right.
And he said, no. He says, if you want to get your if they're not paying, the only way for you to get your money back, you can never get the property back, and the only way you can get your money back is if you sue them for those payments.
Yeah.
So then I was like, holy crap, is this a West Virginia thing? Because I always thought, like you said, land contracts are easier to deal with.
They call it West by God Virginia for one reason, right? Okay, so, I think he's a bit confused. What you can do, Linda, is Guardian Law would probably be the best one, and they're on the website under vendors, and they could handle this for you. and Melissa and Sheila at Allied Servicing, both of them could handle that for you as well, or point you into the right direction. Melissa and Sheila have closed literally tens of thousands of land contracts and knows them intimately from every state. So there's Allied right there on the top there if you go to the website. And then Guardian Law is right there in the middle as well, and Matt pulled those up for us so you'll have them. But probably be easier just if you wanted to get a little bit of an education on that. Probably call Allied and just kind of see if you can chat with either Sheila or Melissa, and they'll kind of talk you through that as well.
You mean
Guardian Law? What's that?
The specifics of West Virginia.
The specifics of West Virginia. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I already work with Allied on another note, so I could give that.
Okay. Well, yeah. Just call them and talk to them, and like I said, they used to run the closing department for Metropolitan Mortgage and Securities in Spokane, and they've closed tens of thousands of these of land contracts. So I would just give them a quick call and say, hey, I just got a couple of questions on this, and they'll I'm sure they'll be able to point you in the right direction. I would like to tell you, but West Virginia is one of the states that I have not, I've never bought a performing or a non-performing loan in West Virginia, but be pretty, they'll help you with it.
Okay, that sounds great. Thanks.
Very good. Okay, let us know what you find out next week.
All right.
Cool. Okay, Matt, what do we have up next, my friend?
Well, let's see. I'm going to see if Terry is, or Sue, on the call here. See a Terry, but I don't believe it's the right one, so I'm going to go to the
Gail has a question. What are the advantages and disadvantages of keeping it as a land contract? Gail, I would prefer to keep it just as a land contract. I think that typically when you talk with someone and they have a negative answer on something, they typically don't know what they're talking about. I certainly wouldn't push them, especially with this being a sub-performing note that may require that you take it back. So I'd leave it as it is right now. Wouldn't make any changes. You know, Linda could be totally correct that these two could be two payments past due or almost two payments past due simply because of the transfer of servicing. It takes, you know, the redirection of payments and all of that, and it could appear. I guess, you know, we could ask Linda if the pay history reflected that they had been two or three payments past due in the past, then, you know, we would understand that they would be, it would be typical for them to be past due. But I got to tell you guys, I look at on seller finance notes, having worked with them for 25 years, if the payment's due on the first and I have the payment before the next payment is due, I consider that on time. So it's not, as long as they don't roll over to the next month, then I consider it all, you know, it's just what it is, what it is. That's the nature of the beast. Okay. So their previous, Linda says their previous payment history was great before transfer of servicing. So Linda, that's exactly what's going on here, is there's just some crossover here as far as the transfer of servicing. So if they've had, you know, I guess they did this in 2014. So if they've got 24, you know, a good payment history, and I guess it's the next payment's due May 1st. So you got 23 payments, and they're all good. That's what I would base this on. And but you still may want to talk to Melissa and Sheila and see what they have to say about the land contract. And if you wanted and they wanted to convert it, you could certainly allow them to do that. But talk to Sheila and Melissa before you do it. All right. So what do we have here? Hold on. Let's see. Terry Cox says he has to leave early. Let me just see. I have to leave in a few minutes, but I wanted to warn Joe that I'm not going to need to come. Okay. Okay. I don't know what that means, Terry. Oh, he's in Denver? That's right. He is in Denver. Yeah, okay. All right. Well, Terry, you're going to miss a fun day. I'm doing an event in Denver. It's called Connect for Wealth, just for you guys' knowledge, April 30th. And the Connect for Wealth event is I'm doing that with Equity Trust. Doing it with Damon Remy from, or actually Brad or Brian Sides from REI Black Book, and Paul Pedry, who has a RIA there in the Denver area, is going to be there, and we're just doing an all-day thing there. Equity Trust will be talking, and then of course I'll be talking, and that'll be the highlight of the day, obviously. Matt, somebody sent me something yesterday. I gave them an answer on something and said, "You're awesome, Joe." And my reply to him was, "I know." Anyway, so if you can't toot your own horn, you know, what else can you do? So I'll look forward to seeing you, Terry. And all of it, by the way, it's if you want to come, just send me an email. And I'll make sure that you get the invite. It's $97, but since you're a Note School mentoring student, then it's the day is free. So anyway, okay, so let's move from there and go to Terry and Sue's question. Are they on the call, Matt?
They are not on the call, so I know that they.
Let's see what we got. Okay, yeah, this is a good one. So with properties that are in rural or small town areas, and I know Eddie talked about this on Monday night as well. How does distance of comps impact accurately determining the value? Distance from town in order to get vendors while trying to get an asset remarketed. Guys, you know, I love the notes. I love performing notes in small towns. They're typically, depending on the demographic. Now, if I were to go through and I were to look at the demographics and it were to be, and probably the crime stats are not going to be the issue, so I'm not going to be looking at to see whether the heat map shows a lot of crime, because there probably isn't a lot of crime. But what I would be concerned with is the other part of that, which would show average days on market for other homes in that area. Let's see, what else would we look at? We would look to see if it were an area that were hit hard by the 2007-2008 crash. So is there a lot of REO properties? Were there a lot of foreclosures done in the area, a lot of short sales? And the demographics are going to tell you that. Are the prices in the area appreciating? Are they flat? Are they depreciating? That type of thing. As far as the comps are going to be what they're going to be. As long as I'm buying it the pay history's good, and and I'm buying it at the right price as far as investment to value. I would certainly not be afraid to buy that just because it's in a small town. I've bought hundreds of notes in small towns, and typically they've been easier to market over the long haul than some of the ones in bigger towns, simply because the inventory can be much tighter in a smaller area than it is in a bigger town. So, again, I wouldn't, as far as vendors getting there, so there may be an extra day or so or something like that as far as somebody getting out and going to inspect the house or whatever you're going to do. But in smaller towns, you've got realtors that you can call and have them do a BPO for you, boots on the ground, go out and have a look at it, take pictures of that for you as well. So I wouldn't worry about that too much. Okay. All right. So what else do we have there, Mr. Matt?
All right, so all of the questions that we had. I was trying to figure out the correct grammar on that. So those were all the questions that
Jackie,
we
had. I am still coming to Raleigh, Durham, in May. Yes, I am. So to answer your question, yes, I am. Matt, what were you going to say?
And we still have about 10 minutes, and Stu did have a question. He had forgotten to send it in last night.
My God, not Stu and Tina.
So let me.
Wow.
Let me see.
Okay. They know that I'm kidding with them. I love stewing. Hey, Matt, what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to get, you know, trying to make it over the top as Eddie was doing the other day. I was talking to Susan and Eddie yesterday, and I said, Eddie, I said, you've been on a roll, man. I said, Susan, I said, it should have been that one of those nights. I can't remember if it was Monday or Tuesday. Should have been, you know, taped, and it should have been an HBO special, man. Oh, my God. Okay, so what do we have? We've got Stu and Tina are looking at a loan from Stonecrest. I'm assuming their own. Stu, Tina, are you there?
Yep, we're here, Joe.
Hi, Joe.
Excellent. What's going on?
Well, this is actually from Colonial.
It is? Yeah. Very good. Saginaw, Michigan. I think that's, isn't Sault Ste. Marie, that's pretty close to Saginaw. And there's a bridge that goes from the U.S. to Canada or something like that right there. Anyway, my grandfather worked on that bridge years, you know, I don't know, in the 30s probably. But anyway, I digress. So what's going on? What kind of questions do we have on this?
Well, this is in a performing notes, and we've gone through the
all the numbers on the pay history.
And,
okay.
And we went through the pay history, and we can't figure out whether we think it's short, and. And we don't know about the insurance, because in the contract it says that they were taking $40 a month for the insurance.
Okay.
But they're not on one. They're not up there. Okay, I sent them to Matt last night. The pay histories has them paying like $40 a month for insurance.
Okay.
Then when Peak took it over, it doesn't show any insurance at all. So we don't know whether they're being paid that or not. And they started out with enough money to cover it, but then they dropped back. And in the...
You found that it's a negative $186 as far as the balance in the escrow account right now.
Yeah.
And okay. Let's just look at the pay history here and see what's going on.
Joe, I think Linda's case study answered a few questions here, because it looks to me like well we know it was a probationary period.
Uh-huh.
And that expired May 15, 2015.
Okay.
But I think where there was kind of a lapse in payments, and perhaps that's when Stonecrest took it back, but we just weren't sure, you know.
Okay.
We were going to phone the county this morning and see about the taxes, but we had another appointment. So, you know, we might have part of the answer already. We just don't know. And
right. Go ahead.
We're trying to do this is for one of our techies who wants a partial.
Right.
So this is our first partial that we're trying to figure this out, because we know he'll go through it with a fine tooth comb.
Gotcha. Okay, so here's what I would suggest, and guys, I'm certainly not trying to pass the buck here on this. But Matt, where would they go to Angie to clear this question up, or Charles? Probably Angie. As far as questions on the taxes and insurance on that?
That would be a Charles.
Okay.
Well, that's fine. We're happy to do that.
And I'm sure Charles, he can look at it, and they can go back into the history on it and check on it. It could have been some issues. You know, it does. I don't know why it does, but there's always anywhere from a 30-day to a 90-day lag when the servicing is transferred on these things. And so I'm pretty sure that that's probably what this looked like, or what's going on with this. But to be sure, just give Charles a call, and he'll be able to have a look at that as well. And so it looks like right now, So Peak has taken it over. They took it over as of January. Is that when they boarded the loan? I'm sorry, in November?
November, it looks like. Yeah. And so that was missed. And then the payment in December was missed. And then
See what they did here is there was a $315 payment made which was short because I think the monthly payment was $350, and then the other $105 is the escrow payment. So then they paid $490, and what they were trying to do, it looks like, is they were trying to catch that escrow account up after this servicing situation, because you went from $315 to $490, then another $10, then $490. So now it looks like they're paying as far as in March they finally caught this up, and it looks like now it's probably paying as required. So just give Charles a call and say, hey, just want to verify on this that we're looking at this the right way.
Okay. Now, Charles, also in the probationary period, Joe, rather, I know who you are. In the probationary period, the payment was only $355. Now, would they have done a modification, because now the payment's up to $490 every month?
So we're trying. Like I say, there could have been that we're not seeing here. There could have been again. The escrow account could have gotten underfunded, and they had them increase the payments to get the escrow account caught back up. The taxes could have gone up, the insurance could have gone up, and then that would have been a requirement that so the it could have went up so it's $350 and $105, so it could have went up $35 a month, which would have made it $140 instead of the taxes and insurance could have went up $40 a month. So now they would be required to pay $490 versus the $455 because the taxes or insurance may have gone up on this as well.
Yes, so, that's what we're thinking.
That's what we're thinking. We're concerned there was no insurance on it because it doesn't show in it.
Well, no, you want to make sure that it is insured. And, and of course, it would be completely proper for you to call the insurance company and make sure that it is actually insured. And everything is current on that. So, yes, absolutely.
So how, and also, like, could we request, I guess we can't request more information from Peak, can we, until we actually have
I would get with Charles, and I would talk with Charles prior to contacting Peak.
Okay, that's great.
Okay.
Good. Thank you so much, Joe. We were just hoping we were all right.
Thanks, Matt.
Okay, hey, we may, I'll be up in, you're a long ways from Portland, aren't you?
About 8 hours.
About 8 hours.
Okay, yeah, I was going to say you can come to Portland and see me in May, it's not worth it to come 8 hours to see me, so.
Are you sure?
Well, you know, if you wanted to, but. I'll be at the RIA there, the Northwest RIA there in Portland in May. So, all right, guys. So, any other questions on there, Matt, we need to take care of?
Gail wants to know who Charles is.
Who does? Gail. Charles? Who is Charles? I don't know. Charles is, what's his official title, Matt? I can't remember.
He's a vice president or something.
He deals with all of the loan acquisitions, the asset acquisitions, and then reselling assets to you guys, to our students. So it's Charles Mangan, Mangan. And he is a great guy. Okay, let's see. Linda says, if we stick with Peak servicing, can they handle partials? That is a great question, Linda. I believe that you probably need to go with Guardian on partials. I don't know. Have you heard otherwise, Matt?
I know that Mr. Speed is working with every one of our servicers to get them in place to where they can do partials. I don't know if Peak has finalized the paperwork and the agreement.
Okay.
I know that as far as like with Allied and NA.
Allied is, again, at Linda. Allied is they've bought tens of thousands of partials, so they would be really good. And I think Guardian, and I know Guardian Law is working on those as well. So I know those two are, you're good to go on both of those. And just remember, as we always tell you, if you're not getting the answers you need to get on a timely basis from your servicers, you got to stay on them. They're just like anybody else. They're like me sitting here trying to keep up with some stuff I've got to do. If nobody's bothering me about it and I know that it's due, I'm not going to do it until you probably shoot me an email and say, hey, why haven't I gotten what I needed? So manage your servicers, but both Allied and or Guardian can do that for you. I think Matt's pulling up some stuff here. I think the Titanium Mastermind is going on this week. I think everybody's kind of ascending on Dallas out there right now, so that's going on. And then obviously Summer Summit. If you haven't gotten registered for that, and then you've got Dykes Botiford, his extra day he's doing there. So make sure that you see that and get registered. I know there's going to be, without me saying, you know, giving anything away, Matt, there's going to be a lot of great new announcements there made about some things upcoming with the asset platform. So that's all I can say about that. Anything you need to add, my friend?
No, I think we're good. I just wanted to clarify, Guardian Law does the paperwork, so they're not going to be able to do the servicing. So if you're looking for servicers that do it, make sure that you're looking at like Allied, NAA, and like I said, we'll confirm the Peak SOD, and FCI has a partial also. But so I just wanted to make that clarification. I know you didn't say that. I just wanted to clarify that just in case.
Right. Very good. Yep, you got it. All right, guys, if there is nothing else, it was great talking with everybody today. Have a great weekend. And if any of you are in the Springfield, Missouri area, I will be doing a presentation on Thursday night there in the Branson area, and then a full day on Saturday. And we have a three-day class in San Francisco next weekend. And then I think we're following that up with a class in Fort Lauderdale the weekend, a three-day class the weekend after that, which is the 29th through May 2nd. So, yep, everything is good, and we'll talk very soon, and hope to see you guys quickly. So have a great day, Matt. Thanks so much for everything.
Have a good one.
Thanks, man.